More jobs, higher wages, higher unemployment. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. 304,000 more jobs were created in January compared to December. That's a lot higher than expected. December's numbers were revised down quite a bit by 90,000 jobs. The unemployment rate rose from 3.9% to 4%. That is courtesy of the shutdown right there. Let's check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
On the one hand, jobs are way up, but they were also revised way down in December. So what's the bottom line here?
I mean, I think the bottom line is that these are still strong numbers and they're pretty broad-based. And remember, the hiring numbers weren't affected by the government shutdown. So it's a pretty strong labor market, lots of jobs.
This was also the sixth month in a row of 3% year-over-year wage growth. What's that telling us?
That's telling us that the labor market is finally starting to get tight. And we see that in a rising wage trend. And we also see that in recovering labor force participation. Lots of people that gave up looking for work during the Great Recession and years after are actually coming back.
We were worried about them, right? Because for a while, we were just wondering, where did these people go? Why aren't they looking for work, right?
Yeah, and we didn't know. Would they have the skills to come back to the labor force? And we're hearing about things like job training programs. And that's what happens in a tight labor market. Employers have to go the extra mile to source the workers that they need, and it's actually working. We're seeing labor force participation of workers at 25 to 54, so pre-retirement, post-college. It's at the highest level since 2010.
A revision of 90,000 jobs down for December. Is that normal? That sounds like a lot.
It is a lot, but this is a time of year. The December to January swing is, again, it's very seasonal and the data tends to be very noisy. So we can see these big revisions at times like this.
What does this jobs report mean for the Federal Reserve's plans regarding interest rates this year?
It doesn't mean much for the Fed. The Fed has told us clearly that they're pausing. They hit the pause button. They want to see how things like the global slowdown and the market turmoil and some of the uncertainty around U.S. government policy affect hiring. And that may take several months for us to really get a clear picture of.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks.
My pleasure.
This morning, the big oil companies ExxonMobil and Chevron reported earnings. Exxon's profits were down 28% from last year when they got a big boost from the new tax law. But even with lower profits, the company still beat Wall Street forecasts. Chevron profits were up 20%, and both stocks are up a little over 2% this morning. Some investors are pretty optimistic about this, that big oil has been able to ride out plummeting oil prices. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
When gas prices nosedived from October to December last year, drivers cheered and the big oil companies booed because earnings slid across the board, says Pavel Malchanov at the investment firm Raymond James.
When the price of oil is down $10 versus the previous quarter, there is simply no way to compensate for that.
But for the entire year, the picture could be different. In general, Phil Flynn at the Price Futures Group says big oil companies look okay, mainly because they're not overspending.
Right now, it's good for these oil companies that they're being penny wise and pound foolish because they have to show profits.
That's what investors want. But longer term, if big oil doesn't invest in the next big crude oil discoveries, there are fears the world may not have enough, say in 7 years, when most of us will likely still be driving fossil fuel cars. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
The Super Bowl this year is in Atlanta, home of Coca-Cola, but the official sponsor of the game is Pepsi. Susanna Capoluto reports.
Pepsi ads have popped up on billboards, buses, and trash cans all around Atlanta, and people have noticed.
I like Coke, but, you know, like Pepsi is pretty good for the city, you know, even though like this is a Coke city.
Ricky Washington is checking out the Super Bowl events in downtown. Lindsay Henry is at the same street corner working as a volunteer.
I love the billboard on the tower.
That one reads, "Look who's in town for Super Bowl 53. Another one says, "Pepsi in Atlanta? How refreshing."
You have to make it witty. You don't just say Pepsi's here. You get people's attention by making them laugh. So I'm all for it. Everyone can come here.
Southern hospitality. That's also Coke's response to the Pepsi billboard barrage. Bryn Bartike is with Coke.
Certainly, Atlanta is our hometown, and Coca-Cola is happy to welcome them to Atlanta, along with all of the other visitors and football fans.
Pepsi said it had no one available to talk for this story, but the company did send a statement saying its branding efforts will be in full force around the city.
It's really the Cola Wars Super Bowl style.
That's Dwayne Stanford, editor of Beverage Digest. He says while the Cola Wars aren't what they were a decade ago,
there is still, you know, a battle happening at retail every day between Coca-Cola and PepsiCo's core soft drink brands.
Stanford says Coke sodas have 41% of the national retail market versus Pepsi's 28%. Now that battle is playing out in Atlanta grocery stores with elaborate displays by both Coke and Pepsi. Stanford says this war has two winners.
So it's a good thing for both companies, for consumers to sort of be interrupted and reminded that, you know, there are these fizzy drinks that are, you know, fun and part of celebrations and tasty.
But he says the Pepsi ads may not move the needle on Coke's dominant hometown market share, which is three times larger than Pepsi's. In Atlanta, I'm Susanna Capoluto for Marketplace.
Have you looked up the price of a Super Bowl ticket, by the way? We track the cost over time. Spoiler alert, the most expensive ticket, you could buy a house with that money. Check it out at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benashour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.